Ready for the word tonight? Matthew chapter 24. Let's get started. God is so, so good. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto them, unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Jesus said the gospel of the kingdom must be preached. Now, we've been on this series for a little bit of time now, and it'll be on for a little bit longer, talking about the gospel of the kingdom. And, you know, many people will say, well, the gospel of the kingdom preached all through the world. I think you've all heard this part of this message. But the truth is, we've not had the gospel of the kingdom preached throughout the world. We've had the gospel of the cross preached throughout the world. And most of the church, 90% plus of the church, has known to come to the cross, but not that you can go beyond it into the kingdom. So we defined, for example, in this message, that over here on this side of the sanctuary, to your right would be the kingdom of the world system, limited by man's intellect, man's strength, man's cunning, charisma, amen, and at times some demonic assistance. Over here on your left, the left side of the sanctuary, would be the kingdom of God. And over here are all the promises of God, the power of God, the blessing of God, the love of God, the victory of God is available here. And there's a transition point to go from the kingdom of the world or the world system to the kingdom of God, and that transition point is called the cross. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you first go to the cross. But God never meant for us to stop at the cross. He wants us to come to the cross, get born again, receive of the rights to our inheritance, receive the righteousness impartation, and then take all the provision, all the grace He's given us, and proceed into living out of the kingdom. Learning how the kingdom functions. How can I live by the power of seed? How can I use faith? How can I learn how God moves through, you know, His promises? And then learn how to become an overcoming Christian in this realm. John chapter 5 verse 4 says, "Now this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." So it's got to be part of your understanding. You can win in every situation if you utilize faith, because faith is a law, it never fails. So again, God right now is raising up men and women of God, men and women of faith, to take the gospel of the kingdom throughout the world. And as soon as this kingdom is manifested, as soon as people get a hold of the gospel of the kingdom, guess what's going to happen? There will be an overturning of the powers of darkness. I believe when the people of God get a hold of the gospel of the kingdom, the glory of God is going to manifest. When the glory manifests, then we're going to see the harvest coming. We read in the introduction tonight that when this glory comes forth in the last days, Isaiah chapter 2, then all nations are going to flow to the church, to the mountain of the house of the Lord, right? So it's going to take people that learn to go into the kingdom. Because if you just stop at the cross, there's no power stopping at that point, or limited power. The truth is, you have provision to power, you've got grace to power, but until you learn how the kingdom functions, you won't know how to use it. You know, trying to think of some good examples. I've had people come to me and say, you know, "Can you fix my equipment? My equipment doesn't work." You know, maybe it's a chainsaw, maybe it's a weed eater, a lawnmower, whatever it might be. I've had people bring electronic stuff to me. Can you fix this? It doesn't work. And I say, well, did you try hitting the reset button? Or did you prime the carburetor? Have you checked your air filter or whatever? And a lot of times it's just knowing what button to push first. And because I've experienced it before, maybe on that item, I will just plug it in, turn it on, hit the right sequence of buttons, and it works. And the truth is, they had the power there all along, they just didn't know how to run it. Amen. It's like Patty with her old remote control system. She is in heaven right now. I switched my system at home that everything now runs out of one remote control, except the Roku box. It used to take, to run our system, it took 5 or 6 remotes. You had a remote for the TV, you had a remote for the satellite system, you had a remote for the surround sound system, you had a remote for the 2 different remotes for 2 different VCR DVD players, you had a remote for the Roku player, And so she's all about what? And then buttons to push. She'd have notes writing it down. How do I do this? And we switched it all to one remote. It all runs through one now. She's like, I'm free. Now, the truth is, she always had the power. She just didn't have the know-how. All the channels were there. All the provision was there, but she didn't know how to do it. Well, that's the way it is with people that stop at the cross. They have the power. But until you learn the ways of the kingdom, the ways of the Spirit, then you can't function in that power. Until you learn how to utilize faith or how to apply yourself to faith, then you won't be able to access the power that faith has the ability to operate out of. Amen. So God's calling his end time church to function out of the kingdom of God. Look at John chapter 2. I'm sorry, John 3. And let's go to verse 2. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, had to come by night because he was afraid everybody would kick him out of the synagogue. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Wonder who the they are. There wasn't very many around him that knew that. Amen. I think if he's being generous, he's going to say, I know. Or there'd been others with him. Come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Praise God. Somebody recognized the power of God was on Jesus. He was willing to change their viewpoint once they witnessed the power of God. You would think people would do that today, wouldn't you? That they saw the miracles, they saw the healings, they saw the deliverances and would say, maybe there's something wrong in my doctrine that I need to adjust. Because it's obvious God is over there. But instead, man, like the Pharisees, dig in their heels and say, no, if I was to admit they were right, I'd lose all my people. That's what the Pharisees did, right? So this Pharisee comes by night. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, or truly, truly, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now remember, we're talking about a kingdom that we have available now, right? And he says, you can't go to this kingdom unless you be born again. Again, here's the transition point. Unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom. Amen. An unbeliever, a non-redeemed individual, cannot function in the power of this kingdom because the inheritance is only laid up for those that have come to the cross. But then he says, unless a man be born again, he cannot see it. You know, did you ever get frustrated trying to explain to people that weren't born again the things of God? Yeah, we lay hands on people. God heals them. Right. I sow a seed. I tithe. I sow seed. And God multiplies it back to me. Right. See, if they're not redeemed, they can't see it. So there's no use you trying to teach the principles to the unbeliever. What you've got to do is show them the manifestation. It's going to take people demonstrating the kingdom to draw people in. And that's what Jesus did. He would teach about the kingdom and nobody got it. Nobody understood his teaching about the kingdom. So what he would do is he would say, okay, let me show you what it does. And then he'd start healing people, delivering people, raising people from the dead, feeding multitudes. Everywhere he preached the kingdom, he demonstrated the kingdom. Because they could see the natural manifestation, but they couldn't see the actual functioning of the kingdom itself. You can't see the kingdom's function until you are born again. When you get born again, now the Spirit of God comes inside of you and enables you to see into that supernatural realm, but you can read the Word and see the principles of God in manifestation. Amen. So the born-again experience at that transition point at the cross now enables you to see. Now listen, just because you see something doesn't mean you have it. We've got the prize case back in the back that the kids can get tickets for and get prizes out of the cabinet. Amen. And I remember when we first put it in there, we put these big teddy bears in there. It was like 50 tickets. Did anybody ever get a big teddy bear with 50 tickets? Nobody ever did. Is it still in there? Amen. And I remember first day kids were going like, I'm getting that bear. 50 tickets, I'm doing it. You got a ticket for coming to church, bringing your Bible, bringing a friend. And, you know, 3 times a week, there's 15 tickets right there. You say for 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, you got it. Amen. And I'm getting that bear. Well, listen, they saw it. They saw what it took to get it, but now they had to move into it. They had to activate that promise of being able to access that prize. Well, that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. When you open the Word, God will show you the promises. He'll show you the blessings. He says, I'm showing it to you. Now you've got to go in and take steps to lay hold of it. Notice you're not going to work for it, but you are going to develop your faith to be able to receive it. Amen. And you're going to make adjustments in your walk of holiness to be qualified to receive it, if I can put it that fashion. Because you're not going to be claiming it, naming and claiming it with the condemnation devils all over your head when you're not obeying God and what He tells you to do. But the point is, you can't see the kingdom until you are born again. Once you see, you now have a target to go after. Again, 25 years ago, 27 years ago, when I heard the preaching of healing, I saw it. I didn't see it until I wrote down all the verses on healing in Scripture in my spiral notebook by hand. I still got it stored somewhere. I wrote down all the healing verses, started reading them, and after reading them through several times over several nights, I'd read the entire group, meditate them. I saw it. It's a genuine promise in the Word of God. I'd been to the cross, and I had the right to see into the kingdom. Once I saw healing made available, then I said, I want that. And I'm going to do the spiritual gymnastics or exercise necessary to build my faith to enable me to receive that promise, to believe and receive it. And so seeing it, you then have an ability then to move into the kingdom. Understand, if you're just trying to go into the kingdom without a promise or without a direction, you'll be wandering. But when you have a target you're moving towards, you got something you can lay hold of, and then when you get it, you can say, I've got it. Let me throw this out. If a person sees the kingdom being available, but they never set a goal, it probably won't last. If you just say, I'm going to live out of the kingdom, and you just kind of confess healing in your life, you know, some of the time, and you sow some seed, and you tithe, you know, and you never really claim a promise and say, that's mine, and I'm not letting go of it, you'll finally grow weary because you're never seeing a manifestation. It requires you set targets that you're going to believe you receive and you're going to hold on to till you manifest. Because then once you get to the point you're healed, you've got experience. And Romans 5 says once you get experience, it adds more hope that you can build more faith towards. Be sure in this kingdom walk, you make a decision to manifest versus just bounce around. Did I lose anybody with that? Target things you're going after. Target relationships being restored. Target, you know, finances coming in. Target the devourer being rebuked, if nothing else, that your car doesn't break down. Target that you get healed. Start with the flu and work your way up. Amen? Because manifestation lets you keep going further in faith. I read a book when I was young. They made a movie out of it later called The Sands of the Kalahari. And it was about a plane that went down in the Kalahari Desert. And they're out in the middle of nowhere, sand everywhere. And they're going to try to figure out how to get out of the desert. And they find these ostrich eggs that you can take and you can put a hole in and you'd empty the contents out, eat the contents, and you fill them with water. They were at a place, they found a spring. But the spring may have been 100 miles or more from any other water. And they could take these ostrich eggs and fill them with water and plug them, and you could bury them in the sand, and they would keep for a long time, keep the water. And what they understood is what you can take is you can walk as far, you can fill an ostrich egg, some ostrich eggs, walk as far as you can, put that egg in the ground. Walks further, put another egg in the ground. And then you travel back, get some more eggs. And each time you travel, you take just a few drinks out of each egg. So finally, you put enough eggs along the way, you got enough water in them, you can actually travel a long distance if you know where the eggs are. So if you're taking off and you've got these eggs buried, you go so far, you take an egg, you dig it up, you take whatever you need at that time, you bury it back, you go to the next egg. And you work your way all the way across the desert area with the ostrich eggs. What's that got to do with the kingdom? I'm glad you asked. You've got to have some place that you're taking a drink of manifestation along the path if you're going to go all the way. I mean, set some concrete goals that you're saying, God, I believe I receive. I've always endeavored to write down things I'm expecting to manifest. I can go back in time and find lists of stuff that I said I believe I receive. Here are the things I'm targeting. I went across one list that we probably made 17 years ago, maybe even 20. And Patty and I sat and made a whole list of stuff we believe we receive. And I found that list, and almost every item on the list had been fulfilled. Why? We set a target, believe we received, and it came. I remember years ago, Patty won the ring. And I didn't have the money. I said, tell you what, I promise you're going to have your ring, you're going to have rings on every hand, every finger of your hand before it's done. Every finger on your hands before it's done. And we just said, we believe we receive. And as we did that, rings started coming. Now she gives away rings. She's got more rings than she can wear. What happened? Manifestation. We moved into this house. The house was bigger than what we had before. We didn't have much furnishing in the old one. And here we got this empty house. And so Patty just started claiming, we believe we receive certain furnishings. You know, we had an empty living room. Empty. There was nothing in it. You go to the house, we had one room of furniture. We had a dining room table we bought when we moved in. And that was it. And she walked by and see those empty rooms and it'd frustrate her like, we don't have it. We said, we believe we receive. Now we can't pack any more furniture in the house. If we bring something in, something's got to go. In the same fashion, that entire list, almost everything on it, has been accomplished. I claimed all my family to get saved. We've not lost a family member yet that hadn't gotten saved first. So what happens is when you get the experience, it's like taking another drink out of that ostrich egg, and it refreshes you now to go further, deeper into the kingdom. But if you never see a manifestation, you're just bouncing around here, you know, in and out, up and down, all around. And you never can really fully give yourself to go as deep as God would take you. Amen. Target manifestations. So again, Jesus tells Nicodemus, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom. Colossians chapter 1. Have you got it? It says in verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, talking about Jesus, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, I wanted to go to this verse because there's so many people who say, well, you don't enter the kingdom of God until you die. But that's not what Paul said here. Hath is a past tense word. Now we know this, but we need to make sure it's on these messages for the sake of somebody who doesn't know this. You are already a member of the kingdom of heaven if you are born again. Amen? It's a past tense occurrence. Now here's the problem. Here you're made a citizen, but you never enter the land. There are places in America I would not want to live. There are. I don't want to live in New York City. I'm told in New York City there's people who've never left their city block before. I mean, never left their area. They just stay in that one little area. Never been out, never seen deer in the forest, never seen wildlife or cows or horses, unless a policeman was riding on it. They are right there where they grew up because everything they need is right there as far as provision. But I don't want to live there. I don't want to live in New York City. Amen. I really don't want to live in Alaska. The motorcycle riding season is way too short. I don't live in the Northeast at all. And the neat thing is a person that lives there, because they're American, can move anywhere. We have a right to move anywhere. And so they can be looking in the magazines or watching on television and see pictures of Tennessee and say, it's obvious God has blessed that land. And pick up everything and say, we're moving to Tennessee. Pack your bags. Here we go, which is what my daughter's doing Monday. Amen. And so, in the same fashion, you don't have to stay where you're at once you become a citizen of the kingdom. You can see there's a vast promised land out there flowing with milk and honey and say, I'm not going to stay in the land of bondage anymore, because you can be at the cross and stay in bondage. You can be at the cross and stay sick and stay broke. Say depressed and oppressed. But you can see out there, there is a land of liberty out there that I'm willing to sell out to move into. And you pack your bags. For, of course, most of the baggage you just leave behind. That religious baggage, you say, I don't need that anymore. I don't need those old rules and regulations and, you know, do's and don'ts. I'm going into the land flowing with milk and honey, and the land where I can live by faith, the land I can see actual victory and manifestation. And you take active steps to move towards it. Have you ever heard anybody say, I'd really like to live at that place? If not for the call of God, Patty and I would probably be in Virginia now. We went to Virginia here a few years back, and it was the most beautiful place I've ever seen. Until I got to Kauai, Hawaii. Then I would have moved there. If I had the ability, I would move to Hawaii. Patty wouldn't. She wants seasons. I want season. And so she won't go to Hawaii, but if we had her druthers, we'd probably go to Virginia, because it's absolutely beautiful. But God said, I'm to be here. The point is, have you ever heard somebody say, I'd really like to live there? And you say, why don't you? Well, I just couldn't, you know, I'd have to do this and I'd have to do that. Then do it. If for some place you want to live, then move. Now, I'm not talking about you guys. You're supposed to be here. In fact, this is the place people are supposed to be moving to. But people say, well, I would love to move there, but I'd have to pack everything. I'd have to sell stuff. I'd have to, you know, find a place, and I'd have to do this. And then do it. If that's where you want to be, then take the steps necessary. The truth is, they don't want to be there strong enough. If you want to be there strong enough, you will take the steps necessary to move there. Well, if you really see the goodness of the land of the kingdom of God, all the provision and blessing and joy in it, and you value it like it should be valued, you will change the priorities in your life to move into it. If we really saw it, we would shut the TV off a lot of the time just to get in the Word and pray, just to worship God. We would seek godly entertainment versus natural entertainment, or godly inputs versus natural entertainment. We would claim every promise of God we could get our focus on, and we'd go to war against the powers of darkness if we really valued it. If we really valued it, we would hardly ever miss church. Amen. Every time we came, we'd be saying, God, I need a word from you right now. Speak to me. You know, that is a testimony I've heard Pastor Philip give repeatedly, and it applied to me all the way through as well. I remember the early years where I was after God with all of my heart, even after I resigned my job, you know, in the corporate world, And we had to have a word from God. There were times everything was on the line. I needed to hear God. I mean, Bill screaming or Strife trying to manifest or offense or whatever it might be. Symptoms. I would come to church saying, God, you need to speak to me tonight. And you know what he would do? He would speak to me that night every single time. It wouldn't be that I would get called up for a prophecy. It would be whatever the minister was right what I needed to hear. He would change the flow and take a bunny trail. And Pastor Callum would say, I don't know why I'm over here. And I'd say, I do. I told God I needed a word. He had to get you off what you were going into to get what I needed to hear. Like, it's probably what is happening right now for some of you. And so because there was a desire and a demand to go into the kingdom, God would speak to me and bring me what I needed to hear to take me into the kingdom. So if we really, really valued the kingdom, we would come to church with an attitude, God, bring me a word tonight. Versus, well, how long is he? Is he going to be long-winded tonight? I hope he don't call everybody for prayer at the end of service tonight because I really got to get home. The ball games are on. He goes to praying for people. It could extend service 20 minutes. See, when I go to church, I'm thinking, stretch it out. I'm here to see God move. I want a word from God. I'm not concerned how late it goes. I understand people have small children and such, but mine are grown up. And even they weren't when they weren't, I'd pray over them, they get supernatural rest. It worked fine. So I'd say, God, don't stop the service now. Show off. Don't close it up now. I want to see the power of God move. There are people here and didn't see the power of God move. Versus just putting in our time. If we really were serious about going into the kingdom. Because when you're serious about it, you reorient your focus. When I was addicted to fishing, oh Lord, when I was addicted to fishing. Thank you, I'm free. Anybody here addicted to fishing? You've been set free too, right? Mike can attest to my fishing. He'd been gone fishing with me before. I took him down a path one time to get to the creek that healed his ankle. Amen. He had torn a muscle in his ankle. And it healed back of it. It was tight, I guess. And I took him fishing down this creek. I mean, rocks everywhere, elkhorn, swift water, down this hillside. It was like, I mean, you had to grab tree pieces to get up and down the hill because you just go straight down. But it was a good part of the creek. And he got out there and started churning his ankle, twisting his ankle every which way. It stretched everything back out and healed his ankle. You owe me. Amen. A night before I was going fishing, which was all the time, I would go get my reels, check the line on. I'd change the fishing line on my reels probably once a month. Because to get any nicks out of it, any kinks, anything, you want to lose a fish because of a messed up line. And I'd get all my hooks out. I'd sharpen the hooks. I'd clean the tackle box up. I'd get everything ready. I carried an extra rod and reel with me that broke down on a strap on my back. So if I had a problem with a rod or a reel, I could switch over real quick, have another, and don't have to mess up my fishing day. Because most of the time I waited the creek. I'd go in the morning. At 4 a.m, I'd leave Lexington, drive to Frankfort, get to Frankfort like 5 a.m. in the dark. I'd walk probably a mile across fields at night, weeds over your head, in the dark, to get to my place on the creek at daylight. And then I'd wade all the way up the creek against the current, the Elkhorn down in Frankfort, catching fish all day, and I wouldn't get off the creek until I knew I had just enough time to make it back to the car before dark. That's how serious I was about catching fish. Is that the truth? I grew up loving to fish. I mean, I lived to fish as a kid. Other kids wanting to play, G.I. Joe or something. Not me. I'm looking at fishing catalogs. Hunting and fishing. Well, I loved it. I played the other sports, but that was what I really loved. And so God delivered me. But the point is, I reoriented everything about my night before in preparation for the fishing the next day. What if we got that on fire for fulfilling God's assignment in the kingdom of God? I could never sleep the night before. Going fishing tomorrow. I'd pack my 2 or 3 honey buns in my vest, my 2 or 3 Pepsis. That was it. Vienna sausage, honey buns, and Pepsis. Sometimes a root beer. I had a zippered fishing vest. I'd put the stuff in the inside. My wallet would be in a Ziploc baggie, you know, so it couldn't get wet. And I wouldn't stop fishing to eat. I'd pull a honey bun and eat like this. I'd take a bite and reel while I ate. Pull a fish off, one hand, eat the honey bun, same thing. That's how serious I was about wanting to catch fish. I know it sounds crazy, but that's how on fire I was for the kingdom of God once I learned about it. I'd find out that we were going to have a big service the next day. I couldn't sleep. Bless God, Bobby Jean's coming tomorrow. Special speaker, whatever. I'm just excited. Going to the special meetings, you know, going to go to see Benny Hinn or Rodney Howard Brown or something like that. I'm like, glory to God. Pray half the night in tongues, just in preparation. Well, I wanted to move into this kingdom. Expectation is right. And God's wanting us to see. We're at the cross. He wants us now to see into the kingdom and go after it as if it's the most prized thing we can possess. Because it is. Because through the kingdom, you'll possess all things. Aaron taught in the offering about God giving you the desires of your heart. Well, how does He give them to you? In the kingdom? You're not going to get them over there. They're not to be obtained by natural means or natural effort. They're to be obtained by faith and through the power of seed. So to get over here where we're sold out to wanting kingdom input, that we're targeting kingdom transition and change. Because you do not proceed beyond your expectation. Mike's oldest son, Bradley. When's his child due? June 11th. Got his first grandchild due June 11th, right? And when Bradley was in high school, his early years, he was a state champion level swimmer. All his kids became champion swimmers. State records, right? Regional records. Okay. Phenomenal swimmer. And Bradley swam all the time. And his goal was to make the Olympics. He wanted to be an Olympic swimmer. Well, how many know it's like 50 million people or 1 in 10 million people get to be an Olympic swimmer. So he didn't make that cut. My guess is he doesn't swim as much now as he did when he was targeting the Olympics. Would that be an accurate declaration? I mean, he swam all the time. And what was he doing? Working out, eating right, training, trying to extend his times, trying to become better at the sport, like all his kids did. I won't go there. You guys have met Julie. God's doing great things with her. Dance desire. So Bradley's working out everything he can to get to the Olympics. But once he lost the hope of making the Olympics, then the ritual or routine was cut back. Now, nothing wrong with that. Nobody expects you to march towards a goal that you're not going to reach. But God put goals in the kingdom that we can reach. And what happens is if somebody doesn't set targets for reaching goals in the kingdom, then they'll reduce or let up on their exercise or their diligence in going toward it. And the kingdom blessings are rarely reached in a lethargic manner. They're targeted and grabbed hold of. Where you fight the good fight of faith. You lay hold of eternal life. Where you refuse to lose what God has promised. Now see, here's where we have a problem in this end time faith movement, because so many people, we're raised in this microwave nation this entitlement generation, generations we've got where, you know, well, I'm an American, it's just owed to me. Now think all I got to do is get born again and it's going to be given to me. When the Bible says to labor to enter that rest. When the Bible says that there's going to be a grabbing hold of necessary. And it runs contrary to how we think many times as Americans. You know, I'm of the same attitude. If what I'm going to eat takes me more than 15 minutes to cook, I'm not eating it. Unless I can put it on the oven or on the stove and, you know, go do something else and come back and it's done. I'm not spending hours preparing a meal. I'll let Patty do that. Usually I don't think about eating until it's time to eat and then I don't want to wait 15 minutes. When they made microwave potatoes, they answered my desire in life. Amen. Boiled eggs, microwave potatoes, anything in a boiling bag, I was set. My favorite meal when I was single, especially before the microwave, was to take a can of Hormel chili with no beans and mix it with a can of black eyed peas and then heat it. I was in heaven. It was quick, tasted good, and supplied all my sodium intake for a month. So I'm guilty as well. I want things now. But the kingdom of God requires discipline, diligence, vigilance, and an attitude that you won't quit. I recommend you make a list of what you're believing God for. I used to make the list. I'd write down on one side, one column, what I'm believing God for. What is the seed I've sown? What are the verse I'm standing on? I have a whole page of these things I'm believing God for. And then I pull it out every few days and read through it and say, I believe I've received that. I thank you, Father, for this. Oh, glory to God. I stand on this seed. Stand on this verse. Well, I'm working towards something. Well, in the same way, I believe we're to be doing that with every promise of the kingdom. To be seeing it and then moving into it. It's not enough just seeing it. There are people that live at the foot in the neighborhood around some great stadiums in America that have never seen a game in a stadium. Because they never did what was necessary to go get a ticket, to go through the gates to go in. They could see it. They could hear it. You can hear what's going on in the stadium for miles around. Amen. I remember the first Cincinnati Reds ball game I went to. My dad, I just moved here. And my dad called me, he says, I'm in Cincinnati on a business trip. I'm up here with an IBM salesman. And I got tickets to the Cincinnati Reds playing. You want to come to the game? I said, yeah. He says, I got tickets for two people. Come on up. So I invited Steve Gross with me. And we just started. And so I drove up Cincinnati. We go to the Reds game. We're sitting there. And it's a boring game. It's hot. It's boring. And I'm enjoying, though. I like baseball. My dad's not a baseball guy. He's just there with the salesman. Finally said, hey, let's go drink. Let's go drinking. Let's leave this place. Here we go. And, then we went to the horse races. Horse races first. Went to the Reds game, and we're walking out of the stadium. We hear a crack, and the whole place erupt. George Foster just hit a home run. I'm about 30 seconds after we leave through the tunnel, he hits a home run after a boring game the whole time. Quit too soon. The point being is, it's not enough just to see it. You got to take steps to target moving into it. I'm going to say something. I don't want anybody to get disheartened by what I'm preaching tonight. It's not even enough to have a discipline of reading the Word every day, of praying every day, even if it's every day or every few days. It's not enough just to establish a prayer life and a word life. without targeting goals. Until you say, I believe I receive, you can read till the cows come home. Until you say, based on this seed in this word, I'm accessing this promise. Just going to church isn't going to produce. Well, I go to the revivalist church. I go to Pastor Jack's church. Oh, yes, and we see the power of God. And I tell you what, the blessings of God are at that church. He preaches about the promises. But until you activate those in your life, you won't see it. Y'all having fun in this yet tonight? This requires it to become personal to you. Trying to think of another good example. Because I don't feel I'm released to go any further yet. There have been things I've desired to learn to do, but never did. I've seen people play the guitar. I would love to be able to play the guitar, especially the electric guitar. I'm not going to mess with acoustic. I mean, let the balladeers play the acoustic. I want to jam. I want to crank on one. But you know what? I couldn't play the first note. You know why? Because I want to, but I never targeted. Do you catch me on that? Patty always had a desire to learn karate. Since we're married, she says, I'd love to take karate. And one day Jesus said, okay, I'm going to do it. She had taken karate lessons, and she took them until she got her black belt, and I made her quit. Because she was breaking them boards, and then I had to rub her back all night to overcome the stress on her bones from breaking boards. But she did it. She wanted to learn it. She went and did it. And so there's things that you want to learn to do. Here's one. Has anybody ever wanted to speak another language? Parlez-vous français? Do you ever want to speak another language? I'd love to be able to speak another language. I want to be able to speak Japanese and not tell anybody I know it. So I can just listen on conversations. They're over there saying in Japanese, you said idiot over there in the boots and the white hair. What a dingbat. He looked like a total goof. And just let him go on and on and say, konnichiwa. I have the wisdom of God. God gave me interpretation of what you said. You know, whatever. Or Spanish. Not tell him you know Spanish and hear him cussing you out. I was at a Mexican restaurant one time. It's been a few years ago. And I'm checking out, and the cashier is talking to the guy next to her. They're both Mexican, and they're talking in Spanish, and in the conversation, she's a local gringo. I stopped her. I said, I don't know Spanish, but I know local gringo. Were you talking about me? She goes, no, wasn't you. Just in case they were talking about you, get to know it, amen. When I was young, I tried to take Spanish. They wouldn't let me in class. Tried to take German. They dropped the class. I want to take German because I'm, you know, have German descent. And the thing is, who would you talk to with anymore? It's talking to Mir. Sprechen Sie Deutsch? Nein. Probably everybody in here has wanted to speak another language. Potentially. And some of you may have taken steps to do it. But most probably haven't. They got Rosetta Stone out there. They've got everything you need to learn how to speak another language. But it wasn't of a high enough priority to make the change necessary to do it. Now here's why I don't play the guitar now. Here's why I don't do karate. Here's why I don't speak another language. Because it would take away from my time to seek God. So I don't fish. It would take away from my time to seek God and learn about God and move into the kingdom. So I'm dropping off stuff that normally I might like to do, but it's not as high a priority in my life as getting to know God. So let's drop the service not producing things, and pick up what really is going to be of value to us. Amen. And then do something with it. Again, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and think you'll get different results. We could also take a sub-declaration of that, a sub-theory of it, and say, also insanity is to desire the things of the kingdom and never reprioritize the Word of God and prayer in your life. I know a bunch of you have always wanted to learn quantum physics and integral calculus, but you never took the steps necessary. See Psalm later after class, he'll start teaching you some of the basics. Amen. Moving right along. Are you still with me tonight? Matthew. Oh, I don't want to go there right now. Well, let's go. Matthew chapter 16. Otherwise, I'll get out of order here. Matthew 16, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who do men say that I am?" And verse 18, and Jesus says unto Peter, he says, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church," the rock of revelation knowledge, right? "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Oh, keys! He's going to give us keys to the kingdom. Now listen, the keys aren't going to unlock the kingdom to you. That door was thrown open at the cross. There's no locked door keeping you out of the kingdom. Do you follow me? It's wide open for you to enter as deep as you want to go. Jesus at the door knocking. If you open up, he's going to let you in. The keys are the key principles to unlock the power of the kingdom. The keys are the key ways of God that let you function in the power and provision of the promises of God. Like sowing and reaping, the power of your words, utilizing faith, living a holy life, walking in forgiveness. These are all key principles. When you study this, the writings of Jesus, he would say, "The kingdom of heaven is like," he's given you a key. Amen. He walked all around giving us the keys when he walked on earth. And the disciples wrote down the keys. If we'll just learn these keys, we can function in it. Because then he says, "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever," and connects you to the former statement. Do you follow me? The "and"? "And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now here's the power of binding and loosing, the power of your words. He says a key to the kingdom is the power of you claiming and rejecting. Binding and loosing. We always think of binding and loosing devils. It's grabbing a hold of or letting go of whatever you need to. I let go of fear, I take hold of joy. The power of your words, the power of your confession is the key you need to move into the kingdom. But you know, words define things. Words describe things. If I say the word puppy, then you think of a small dog. Question is, what kind of dog did you think of? How many thought of a long-eared dog? How about a short-eared dog? Long-haired dog, short-haired dog? Long tail, short tail? You thought of a dog. If I say a pink dog, now you probably think of a stuffed animal. Your mind starts to fill in the blanks, right? The more descriptors I give you, if I say a small Jack Russell Terrier with brown spots, then, you know, you start to create that image. And it rules out most of the rest. Well, God wants us to take the power of those words and define specifically what we want to come into our lives. Amen. Start to lay hold of the promises of the kingdom. If you've ever read Dr. Cho's books, and you read his testimony of his early years where he was learning faith, came out of extreme poverty and hardship, out of the lack and the challenges of Korea after World War II. And he was starting to learn the power of words, so he told the Lord he wanted a bicycle. So he said, I believe I receive a bicycle. And it never came. And finally he was praying, he was desperate. He says, God, I told you I wanted a bicycle, and God said, you didn't give me enough information. What kind of bicycle do you want? Do you want a broke down bicycle? Do you want just some bicycle pieces? Do you want a little bitty bicycle, big bicycle? What do you want? So he laid out in detail. He wanted an American-made bicycle. I believe it was to have a basket and a horn on it that tooted. Is there anything else to it? Huh? Red? Okay, I was thinking green. He named the color. Maybe it was red. And shortly after, an American soldier or businessman contacted him, says, I just bought this bicycle. I've been shipped home or somewhere else. He said, would you like this bicycle? He said, what's it look like? He described it, and it was a red bicycle, basket, horn on the front, American made. He says, yes. God was waiting for him to get serious about claiming it versus just be so generic it could be anything. Then he said he wanted a desk for his office with a chair with wheels he could roll around like a big shot. He described the desk and chair. Here came the desk and chair. And he learned, if I'll get serious about describing what I want from God, God will get serious about bringing it to me. In other words, God, I need a car is probably not going to be sufficient. Amen. Can I take it further? God, I need a spouse. Oh. See, if it's very generic, you'll take any old fish. Get specific. Born again, full of the Holy Ghost, has a job. If it's a guy, amen. If it's a girl, you know, whatever attributes you want there. But get specific. Because God does not answer generic requests. And what happens is you put out a generic thing, you'll start claiming anything as the answer. I don't know how many times I've done it, but things have come to me and it wasn't what I was believing God for, but it was close. And I'd put up with the close because I needed something, wanted something so bad, I would just claim that was it. Aim at shoes that didn't fit. Oh, praise God. I remember one time I ran across a shoe deal. I was needing shoes. And there was somebody had some sale on clearance. And it was buy one pair, get one free on sale. And I bought like two pair of Florsheim shoes for like $25 for the two pair. Problem is, they were size 9.5. I wear 10. But I wore them. Crunched my toes and got them in. I need the shoes. Thank you, Jesus, for the blessing. That wasn't God. I like the story about Pastor Philip in the white jacket he was believing God for. Have you heard that one? He was believing God for a white jacket. I need a jacket. And somebody gave him a jacket, a white jacket. Maybe it wasn't white. I don't know if he's doing white yet. Just a jacket. He needed a sports coat to wear to church. And he puts it on and, oh yeah, yeah, this is God. That's right what I'm believing for. And he would lift his hands and his hands wouldn't go up. About three sizes too small. Oh, that's God, God. I'll just keep my hands down. He gets home, my brother says, that isn't God. Get specific or you'll end up with the wrong item. Did you know people think that if they get too specific, that it's narrowing down the options too much for God to meet it? This is the God that created the heavens. Now understand, you ask anybody in church and they're really in revival with her, they're going to say they're believing God for the right spouse. I'm believing God for a spouse. I'm believing God. Believing God. Believing God. And then they go try to find themselves. I'm not coming against using options out there to locate people. You know, Pastor Chad found a bride on Christian Mingle. Well, actually, his dad found her for him. And so if that worked, fantastic. I don't have a problem. But make sure the one you mingle with is the one that matches what you said you wanted. Or you'll settle for less and end up with a mess. That rhymed. Must have been God. If it rhymes, it's of God. Choose not to lose. Oh, we did it again. Holy Ghost in this thing. Don't let your fear that God can't do it cause you to sell short and end up with something that's a mess. How many cars have I taken? It wasn't God. But it looked like a blessing, but it was Ishmael squared. I put more time and effort in trying to fix those cars. Don't cut God short on His ability to bring to you what you need. But you've got to define it. Your words are your descriptors for what you're believing God for. Are you believing God for divine health? Then describe it. I don't have any sickness in my life, any disease. I don't receive any single pain in my body. I refuse it, any injury. The problems are reversed right now. In fact, while we're at it, and my youth is renewed as the eagles. My eyesight, even though I need glasses all my life, I don't need them anymore. Amen? Aches and pains have to go. They have to be reversed. Start defining it. Even write it down. Say, God, according to your word, I'm standing on these promises. And don't move until it's manifested. Well, I did that, and I pulled out my list, and not a single thing has been met. Yeah, but it's only been 3 weeks. That thing with the empty house that we had, there were things Patty wanted. And we just said, we believe we receive all these things. We listed the items. We listed the items she wanted. And every one of them is in the house right now. Plus much more we weren't believing God for. Nice stuff that would just come because we were faithful. There's much more coming. But it's only going to come as we really get serious about living by faith. Amen. Now this kind of is coming across as a heavy message tonight. It wasn't meant to be. But I believe God's just calling us to a higher level of expectation and doing our part. He's ready to do His part. Now, what part are we willing to step into? Father, I thank You for Your word. And You show us what we should be claiming, what we should be laying hold of, and how to go about it. What seed to sow, what verses to stand on. And people take the time to set aside time just to get quiet, make their list, and lay forth a claim on the blessings of Your kingdom. I thank You. I give You praise. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. If you need special prayer for anything, I'll be up here glad to pray with you. Otherwise, hug some neck. Share the love of God.